Blog Talk Radio.
Are you looking to take your social technology strategies to the next level? Then do we have a show for you. Social Geek Radio co-hosts AK Stout and Deb Evans chat weekly with innovative technology folks who share their experiences, tips, and tricks to help you take your business to the next level. Social Geek Radio is brought to you by Saying It Social and Deb Evans Consulting, LLC. To learn more about their unique services, including but not limited to speaking, consulting, and training, visit AK Stout and DebEvansConsulting.com.
Good evening, Social Geek Radio guests and co-hosts and audience from near and far. This is Deb Evans coming to you live from Houston, and it's not foggy anymore, so I'm very happy about that. 70 degrees, unfortunately, for those in the cold weather like AK. How cold is it there where you in today?
I don't know. It was like, I think the highest I saw it was 23.
Okay.
But I don't know what it was with wind chill, but I do know when I walked the dog this morning that apparently it was like 12 and the wind chill was like 1 or something. But I walked 3 miles.
I saw that. And you are so dedicated. You use that Charity Miles app. Thank you very much. Charity Miles is still coming through for so many people. It's amazing how many users we have. And I'm sure you do the same thing. I'm walking and I'm using that app and I'll see somebody walking with their smartphone. And I'm sorry, I just have to stop them and say, hey, do you know about this app called Charity Miles?
I love it.
So we have two very, very special, likable guests tonight.
We do.
I'm so excited.
Are you so excited?
I'm so excited. Why don't you go ahead and introduce them? I'm so excited.
All right. Well, we have the fabulous geeky duo of Dave Kirpin and his wonderful wife, Carrie Kirpin, who are here to tell us all about themselves and their business and their books and all of the other 100 things I'm pretty sure that they're involved with. So I'm very happy that they are here with us tonight.
Thanks so much for having us.
You're welcome. Yes.
We are excited to be here.
And we have you together. So is this the first or one of the first shows that you've done together?
It's first in a while, honey. When would you say the last? We haven't done one in a while.
It's very rare that there's a dual appearance at the same time. We're usually in different places at the same time. So it's doubly rare that we are actually in the same location doing this interview together. So it's pretty exciting, actually.
Well, I've got geeks everywhere.
Yay!
Of course, I'm a return visitor to Social Geek Radio, so I'm excited to be here. Now, I don't know how many guests you've had on twice, but of course, I'm honored that you
He's
thought.
He's keeping score, you know.
He wants
to beat me.
You didn't actually, you know, I wasn't so bad that you decided you'd never have me back, which I appreciate.
No, that's true.
That's
and you
good.
Were probably one of the first in that first 6 months that we did Social Geek Radio, Dave. So, wow, it took us way too long to have you back.
He's a pioneer in the Social Geek Radio space.
He is. So I know you guys have some awesome, awesome stories. And the one story that I'd love for you to share, I don't know if AK's even heard this one, about your wedding. I mean, you guys were into crowdsourcing and likable stuff from the very, very beginning.
We were. And I think I'm going to let Dave tell the story. We tell it actually a little bit differently, so it's pretty interesting. So I'm going to let him tell the story today, and then I will interject with any other, you know, additions.
Sounds good.
I'll let you take the floor on this one.
Well, thanks. Well, the story goes way back to 2001, where I was working at Radio Disney in Boston, and I was fortunate enough to be the number one salesperson in the country until this woman started working at my office and dropped me to number two within 3 months. And I knew I had to, one, marry her, and two, go into business with her. But it wasn't until some years later when she agreed with me on that. And we were dating in New York for a while, and when we did decide to get married, you know, I wanted a really large wedding. I mean, I was sort of like social media before social media in terms of wanting to connect with anyone and everyone out there.
He really wanted, you know, basically everyone he's ever met to attend his wedding. And that was like, you know, he was kind of like, the way you traditionally think of women as like bridezillas. Dave had kind of a groomzilla appeal because he just wanted everyone he's ever known to come to our wedding. So that presented quite a challenge in New York City.
Groomzilla 2006 on the knot. And so, in New York City, as Carrie mentioned, it's an expensive city to have a huge wedding in. So we did have a marketing background. We both had a pretty strong marketing and sales and promotions background. So we put together this idea to get married at a baseball stadium and create a sponsored wedding promotion. And we pitched the Brooklyn Cyclones, a minor league affiliate of the New York Mets that I'm a big fan of, and Carrie as well as a fan.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, this is sort of crazy, but let's see what you guys can do. And they gave us the promotional inventory for the game. And what we ended up doing was partnering and selling all of our wedding vendors in on the promotion. And so 1-800-Flowers.com ended up sponsoring our flowers, and Smirnoff sponsored our alcohol, and David's Bridal sponsored our bridesmaids' gowns, and Entenmann sponsored our desserts. We raised about $100,000 for the wedding and about $20,000 for the MS Society. It was a strong charitable component there. And, of course, the wedding was amazing because I got married to the love of my life in front of 500 friends and family and 5,000 strangers. But it turned out to be a pretty awesome marketing promotion as well. We ended up generating earned media, about $20 million worth of earned media for our partners. CBS Early Show, ABC World News Tonight, CNBC, New York Times, and thousands of blogs. And back in the day, in 2006, in the early days of social media, blogs were social media, right? So after the wedding, our vendors, literally, you know, Entenmann's and 1-800-Flowers and others said, this was amazing. What are you guys doing next? And as the story goes, of course, we couldn't get married again, so we decided to start a company instead.
I love that story. Okay, can you imagine what they would have done with Pinterest at the time?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, you can't think – we always think about how big the wedding would have been had we had, you know, a more connected, like, not social media in terms of just the broader connectivity, but, like, the ability to connect with all of the friends you've ever had with things like Facebook and connect with people with similar interests. I mean, it just – it would have been insane now. I don't even know. It would have been giant. We would have filled the stadium, the 5,000 people, all people we knew, I guess. Would have been insane.
I love it. Very creative. Just that is the hype of marketing.
Well, thanks. And, you know, it's been a great story because as the years have gone by and as social media has become a much, much bigger part of our business, we really went from being a word-of-mouth marketing firm to nearly exclusively social media focused, you know, but that story, of course, has nothing to do with social media. And so it's been very important as we've, you know, gone into clients and, you know, worked with some pretty big companies that we've always been able to demonstrate expertise and creativity sort of really beyond social media and just to general marketing, business and promotions, all of which obviously are affected by social, but you still need those ideas, obviously.
For sure. And it's really about, you know, that initial start of our company is really rooted in the same philosophy as word of mouth and social media, which is that great content, great ideas, great concepts, you know, spread naturally. And, you know, that was something that spread naturally through the press and through kind of buzz marketing and in social media. When you have something that's really a gem of content, a gem of an idea, something that's really incredible, it just sort of spreads organically. And so that's always been our philosophy, and we continue to do that today just through a different tool, which is social.
Very good. Well, Likeable Media, you guys, like Dave, back to when we talked so long ago, was, you know, started with as the K-Buzz and then Likeable Media. But you have so many different components, you and Carrie both, of what Likeable does today. Can you just give us an idea of all the projects and the books and what it is that Likeable consists of?
Well, I think that, you know, the way to look at it is that Likeable itself is more of a philosophy, right? So our company, Likeable, is all about making businesses of all shapes and sizes, making people really eventually in the long term more likable, doing better business as a whole, right? Our mission as a company is to create a more likable world. At Likable Media, we have a full-service social media agency, so we are helping brands set their strategies, create content, and then monitor and respond to content on social networks. So that's the media side. And then we have two other real areas, which are, you know, our ability to help small businesses both through our publishing, which Dave can talk about, and Likable Local. So I'll let Dave talk to those. But on the media side, which is the area that I run, we help companies, you know, Fortune 500s, Fortune 1000s, really excel in social media through the strategy and execution of their social media.
Right, so Carrie has taken over Likable Media, which, as she mentioned, is focusing on large brands and community management, content, strategy. You know, what I've done is replicated as much of that as possible and applied the agency service model to a software as a service product for small businesses. So we're just getting started with Likable Local, which is really in its infancy, but we've just launched in the last few months with our first iteration of our product, which is called Likable Dentists, and it's exclusively for dentists, of course, and it's a social media social media marketing in a box, content creation and distribution, Facebook ad buying, Facebook applications, offline marketing, and online education, those five components. And we're doing some fundraising and looking to expand in 2013 to a whole bunch of other verticals. You know, I see social media as something that small businesses, by and large, have yet to master. There's 27 million small businesses out there and only 200,000 dentists. So when it's all said and done, we'd love to have Likable Local being used by likable dentists, likable accountants, likable doctors, likable vets, likable florists, likable consultants, and then the ultimate oxymoron, likable lawyers. So there's just a whole bunch of folks. I mean, pretty much everyone can benefit from social, and especially small businesses just don't have the time, skills, money, or resources to do it on their own. And so we think there's a huge opportunity there. And then, as Carrie mentioned, that you know we've been really excited about the Likable brand. You know, we happened upon it, Carrie and I, along with our then strategy director and now global marketing VP, Jenna LaBelle. We were at a bar and we just, you know, we thought up the name Likable, and you know, we went with it and we never looked back. And of course, it's a much, much stronger brand than the K-Buzz. We now have licensing deals in three countries, and we've got our Likable global partners out there, and you know, continuing to work in global on extending the brand in various countries. We've got both of my books, of course, have Likable, and I'll do a third book with Likable in the title. And yeah, you know, we're always exploring opportunities to leverage the brand in new and fun ways.
The whole Likable Local is brand new to me. I was not aware of this. So I'm very curious. You mentioned dentist. Why dentist?
It's a good question. And actually, you know, I wish I could say that it was totally planned and strategic, but the real reason is twofold. First, early on in Likable's history, and fairly early on in Facebook's history, Mark Zuckerberg gave an interview to Robert Scoble in about 4 or 5 years ago, in which he talked about his vision for Facebook and small businesses everywhere using Facebook, including his dad, who is a dentist. And so I actually looked up his dad on Facebook. Turned out he was in New York, and turned out he had a pretty bad Facebook page at the time, to tell you the truth. So I actually called him up and I said, you know, Dr. Zuckerberg, I'd love to do your Facebook page for you. I really think you should have a great Facebook page. And we became friends. We did his Facebook page. He became my dentist. He became my friend. And then years later, he is now on our advisory board and is an important part of Likable Dentist. And then, you know, strangely enough, one of our early employees from the K-Buzz actually also, you know, decided that the agency life, the startup life, wasn't for her, and she went to work for one of the largest companies that no one's ever heard of outside of dentistry, or actually a Fortune 500 company called Henry Schein. Have either of you ladies heard of them?
I feel like I have.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're actually the largest provider of equipment and merchandise to dentists and doctors in the world.
Yes.
And she called me up and she said, "Listen, Dave, we're looking for a new social media marketing product for our thousands of dentist customers, and you know, can you come up with something?" So I said, "You know what? I've had this urge to help the small business market for a long time. You know, a lot of people bought the first book, of course, and you know, it's the best-selling book of the year in social media, and so many small businesses bought it, but." You know, you can buy a book, but then, you know, also the challenge is sort of, as you guys know, is maintaining that ongoing social media presence. And so we said, you know, let's give this a shot with dentists and then use this as a sort of beta test for rolling it out like a local to all these other verticals. And so so it was born with dentists, and it's been funny. It's been interesting. I never thought I would be so deep into the dentist of business, but I'm really starting to understand what dentists are all about now. And
he knows a lot about teeth now.
Yeah.
Very, very exciting. Very good.
Good for our kids. He has such a wonderful smile. So it,
of course
totally
he does.
Makes sense.
He's very. Dentists are very important to him.
It's funny, honey. It's funny, honey, because actually, I didn't tell the story today, even when I mentioned it. But I was telling our wedding story the other day in a dentist. You know, in some sort of dentist convention. One of our sponsors, as it turned out, for the wedding was Bright Smile that sponsored our they whitened our teeth right before the wedding. And so, you know, little did I know back then that I would be going into the dentist business.
Yes, it's true. That was your early foray into dental word of mouth. Very good. I love it.
That's very good, Gary.
Yeah?
Oh, geez.
Well, I, for one, am dying to know about the book because you guys probably don't know this because you probably don't follow Deb and me like we follow you guys.
Oh, we do. You'd be surprised.
What was it? Was that last year, I guess, that we went to Chicago, or was that 2 years ago?
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. So I got the idea in my head. Actually, I think it was one of our Social Geek Radio guests who got the idea in my head to write a book. And then Deb, I kind of told Deb that she should write a book, and then Deb actually did, and I did not. And so, but it's back on my radar. So I'd love to hear about the Likeable Social Media book, which I read and I loved, and sort of how that came about, and about your new book, Dave, Likeable Business.
Yeah, well, first of all, congratulations, Deb. I did not know you wrote a book. That is so, so exciting.
That's exciting.
Can you tell me about your book before I tell you about mine?
You're not going to find my book on Amazon. What I did is I wanted to put together a guide, a book to help developing peak performing franchisees. You know that, you know, franchising is my love, and that's what I usually do in my day job. So I put my thoughts together. I had a co-author, and we put it together, and it is in a book, and it's actually in an e-book that I share with different franchisors if they're trying to develop that franchisee-franchisor relationship. I can put it on Amazon. It's just one of those resource guides that it's just internally right now. But I am starting to work on the next one, and I'm hoping to.
That's awesome. Well, Deb, we should talk, you know, because we at Likeable, you know, we believe very strongly in the brand. We think there's a lot of extensions. So we always talk about franchise opportunities. We should always chat about it.
Good.
Definitely.
And, I mean, I'm actually a huge fan of self-publishing. As it happens, I've published both books with a major publisher in McGraw-Hill, but I've become friends with Guy Kawasaki, and I don't know if you followed his recent book, Ape. But, I mean, Guy
is
awesome,
great.
And he's a real proponent of self-publishing. Seth Godin's another friend and mentor that has experimented with self-publishing, even though he, in fact, went back to a publisher in his most recent book. But I think that now is the greatest time on the planet to publish a book. And if there's anyone listening that would like to, you know, is interested in writing and publishing a book, I would urge you guys to go for it. I mean, you know, it's not the old days where you have to pitch a book to an agent and pitch a book to a publisher. I mean, you really can't go out there and write a book and then sell it on Amazon or sell it through whatever your own distribution channel is. But, you know, for me, what happened was the first book, it did really well. And as I was speaking about it and lecturing about it and giving keynotes and whatnot, I realized that so much of what I was talking about in terms of the principles of likable social media weren't just principles of likable social media. They were principles of just good, doing good business, and you know, things like listening and responsiveness and surprising and delighting customers. These aren't just principles of a good social media plan. These are principles of any good business in today's day and age. And so that's why I focused on my second book, Likeable Business, is about just, you know, taking it to the next level and applying these principles that may seem very simple, but applying these principles not only to, you know, your social media, but really creating a social business and a likable business, a business that cares about its customers, a business that cares about its employees. And I think that, you know, in today's day and age, if you're not likable, you're going to get caught. People are going to find out. Word is going to spread. If you have, you know, policies, unlikable policies for customers, or unlikable culture or policies in your, in the way that you do business with your employees, that you're eventually going to perish, because, you know, the customers mm-hmm. and staff people just won't tolerate that anymore. And that's really what the second book is all about. And it's doing really well. We published it in November, again, with McGraw-Hill. And, yeah, just been really excited about it. And now, you know, I'm already thinking about book 3 and 4. I'm likely going to do one more nonfiction book. And I'm trying to rope Carrie, actually, into doing a book with me on likable relationships and, like, you know, being likable not only in social media, not only in business now, but just in life.
We think there's stuff there too with likability, like even being likable in the workplace, you know, with coworkers when you run into situations and different things like that. We think there's a lot of conflict resolution that can work simply from being likable.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great to hear. I mean, we feel really strongly about that. It's like, it's relationships at work, it's relationships at home, it's just, you know, applying these principles of, like, transparency and listening and all the stuff that we talk about in social and that I've written about and stuff. We just think there's some real value there in applying that to everything. So I'm thrilled to hear that from you. And then our 5-year-old and 9-year-old said to me, "Daddy, you know, we really, you know, we like that you've written a couple books, but, you know, when are you going to write a kid's book?" So that's probably book 4 is going to be a kid's book, because I think that would be a brand new challenge and something really fun.
Oh, that would be great. Now, you have, 60 employees?
Yes.
So you have to really be likable leaders. I mean, you can't possibly have a staff that size. And from what I've seen from the staff is they're very happy working there. So there's a book there, I mean, as you were just talking about, that you could write.
Yep. I think, the trick to that and in general is simply – it's just a couple things. First, there's asking for feedback, right? So we survey our staff after everything we do, because we don't want to waste their time. We want to make sure that they really feel like they're getting value out of this, that they want to be there, they're excited to be there. So I think there's a lot about asking for feedback and then really incorporating that feedback into what we do and how we lead. I think it's very good. And then the other thing is, you really, as an organization, like what Dave was saying before about if you're an unlikable practice, it comes out, right, if you're doing things that are unlikable. So we really try and make our policies match what we stand for. And I think that in general is what makes our employees happy. We invest a lot in, you know, team building stuff and really looking at how we can really create a likable work environment.
I got back from Atlantic City. That was a fun retreat. We brought the, 2 years ago we brought the whole company to on a cruise to the Bahamas.
We were smaller then, though.
Yeah, and then last year we brought the company to Miami.
We were smaller then too.
And, you know, every year we keep growing, and it gets harder and harder to do an exciting retreat. So we went to Atlantic City this year, which was awesome, but maybe not quite Miami or a cruise. You know, if we keep growing, our retreat next year might be to, like, Brooklyn.
It might be in Long Island, right. Really, like, just hanging out nearby.
But, you know, that's not a bad idea. I saw Barbara Corcoran last week or 2 weeks ago at the Entrepreneur Conference. And, you know, she's right there in New York with you guys.
Yep.
And one of the things I was thinking about, she, and I didn't know this about her, is how she likes to achieve fun in the workplace. So she talked, too, about taking her team out on a field trip. So here's an idea for you, what she did. She got one of those two-tier buses that you guys have all out through New York, threw them all on the bus, and she took them through areas of New York that she knew that even though people lived in New York, they hadn't really been through, like the Bronx.
Arthur Avenue in the Bronx. That's amazing. That's a great thing.
That's fun. I mean, and she said, and then she does, you know, you have to dress up and you have to come to the party dressed in this theme. And she said, guys have to dress as girls, and girls have to dress as guys. And I just picked you guys doing the same type of thing.
Yeah, because likability doesn't really have to be expensive and fun doesn't have to be expensive. You know, the Atlantic City retreat that we did got the highest reviews of anything that we've done. And really, it was quite simple. It was quite simple to do, and we only went for a night. And, you know, we gave them each a little bit of money to go have fun in the slots, and we let them, you know, come back, and we did a lot of team-building activities, and we all picked, you know, did a fun dinner. And it's just little things like that that make it a more likable workplace and that type of culture that really, you know, aids in your retention and it aids in your really your employee satisfaction. When employees are happier, it do better work. It really comes back to all the principles that Dave wrote about in the most recent book, Likeable Business, which, P.S., Likeable Social Media is an amazing book, but Likeable Business is actually my favorite because as an entrepreneur and as somebody who runs a growing business, I loved reading stories of people and how they dealt with, like, making sure that they were having a likable workplace and likable business practices. I think, you know, that type of stuff is really displayed really nicely in Likeable Business. And I've used, now that I'm running Likeable Media and Dave is off doing local, even today when I had a team meeting, I said, well, Likeable Business, we read about a company that did this, so we're going to do this too. And, it's pretty cool stuff. Some things, companies are doing great things. And Barbara Corcoran also is an amazing kind of ambassador of mm-hmm. likability too. She's pretty incredible.
We love her. We watch her. We're big fans of Shark Tank.
Huge,
we watch
huge
it every
fan.
Week. And it's like a real favorite. We consider ourselves an entrepreneurial family, obviously. So we love Barbara and the Sharks.
Well, I love the way that you reach out to, you know, like you reached out to the dentist. I think you should be knocking on her door.
I know, we really should. We kind of reserve Dave's powers for very specific things. It's really only when he is truly either obsessed with a brand or really, really fixated on something. We have to reserve those special powers because he really can make anything happen. I mean, I can behind the scenes help like operationalize everything, but like when Dave sets his mind to something, he's like, you know what? I'm going to get in touch with Mark Zuckerberg's dad, the dentist. Like that's bizarre. Like the fact that he could actually do that and then now he would have a program that's really based on providing dentists with what they need to succeed in social media is just really, to me, I mean, I know I'm married to him, but that concept is just mind-blowing.
Well, thanks, honey. Yeah, I think you are a little tired.
I am your number one fan, Dave.
I am. Oh, okay, can you stand it?
I love it. Some social geek love for you.
We are truly a social geek couple. I mean,
yes,
come on.
Yes, it's
I mean,
true.
Let me tell you a true story. A couple
years
ago.
Oh, I know it's story. I know.
Yeah. This is my social geek couple celebrity moment. So, early on I think were we likable or were we the K Buzz then, hon?
I think
we might have still been the K Buzz.
Yeah.
It was either late K Buzz or real early likable. We were doing some nonprofit work for Ashton Kutcher and a nonprofit of his, and I'm actually on a call with him. It's about 9 o'clock at night. And I am I'm jumping in a call, and Carrie is in bed right next to me, and she's working, and she's up on her laptop and like tweeting, and I'm like on this like live stream on a Skype call with Ashton, and I made a joke about how like my wife is tweeting me when she's right next to me in bed, and how we're such nerds, and he literally goes, that's okay, you know, Demi is doing the same thing right now. And I was like, oh,
we
my
were
God.
Like, oh, my God, we're totally Ashton and Demi right now.
We're like celebrity social
nerds,
social media nerds right now. Of course, no offense, but we're still together, love.
That's true. But we are nowhere near as kind of fancy and fabulous as those two. They're rather glamorous.
I was really sad about Ashton and Demi, though.
I know.
But I know. they, you know what? they may still be together if we had them on Social Geek Radio, you know? Can I tell you?
That's the thing. So that's the secret. If you're out there you know, you're in a relationship, the secret to long-term success
longevity
through
Social Geek Radio.
Absolutely, you got to be here.
Okay, help me out here. I think we've totally gone off topic.
All I hear is that Ashton Kutcher is going to be on our show, and I don't know how that's going to happen, but that's really all I took from all of that. So.
Love it.
And I'm watching the chat, too. People are saying, make it happen. Hook it up.
I love it.
Add A plus K, man. Tweet them. Tweet them up.
To go on the show.
No, it's actually how we're going to have Jason Falls on next week because I tweeted him and said, hey.
Oh, he's fabulous.
That's the way to do it. Yeah, he's
we
a great
love him.
Guy.
Wonderful guy.
Okay, so let's see if we can get back on topic here.
You got it.
Let me see. So one of the questions that we have here, One of the questions that we had here that we were thinking to ask Carrie, actually you know, how do you motivate your employees to generate original and interesting content that, of course, we know is likable and can be shared? And, what do you do? You've got so many.
Well, it's very challenging. I just wrote a blog post about this not too long ago. I think it was 3 ways to generate, you know, keep content fresh and interesting. It's a challenge, especially when you have with us, we work with over 50 brands. So when you're working with those brands and the concept of having to constantly come up with content for those brands is very, very challenging. So I do a variety of different things. So the basics that I do that can apply to everyone on a broader scale is I encourage people to get out of the office. So if they can take pictures, if they, you know, take your phones out, go out of the office, go see what inspires you. And to be inspired by your environment is very, very important for the creative process. The other things we do is we regularly look at and evaluate other content that we think is truly spectacular and identify why that content is spectacular and what was it about that piece of content that was shared, you know, that is shared so frequently. Like what made that post go wild, right? Or what made that picture on Pinterest so pinnable? Like looking at those things and evaluating it. And then the other thing is regular brainstorms. So for us, you know, we have specific account teams that work on specific accounts. So really looking at if we step outside of those accounts and ask people outside of those accounts for kind of creative ideas on accounts that they don't work on regularly. You know how, like, when you're not in it, like, if you think about a brand you like, and you could think of content for that brand all day because you're not working in that brand, so you're not in it every day. You're not in the muck. You know, you're not constantly having to think of it. So what I try and do is really mix it up and cross teams. So like somebody who would never work on one account, for instance, would be thinking of great content for them. Say, what idea would you come up with for them? So by encouraging a real collaborative effort and really looking at a way to inspire people, those are some good things. So focusing on your environment, focusing on what content is out there that's already incredible and evaluating that content, really looking at how we can take great content and take that concept and make it better. And then, you know, finally, really just making sure that the team is collaborating.
Now, that's great. I'm trying to sit here and think. You know, sometimes my best thinking moments are when I'm just out and about, when I'm driving in the car or, you know, you're in the shower, when you're not focused on work and you're not working hard.
That's right.
At it, you just let it come to you.
That's exactly right. And the other thing you want for that is, you know, really to have great tools that help you with that. So using something like when I'm in the car, I just did, you know, I did a whole search on great apps to use, and I started using Dragon Dictation, which I love. Mm-hmm. So when I have an idea, I literally just say it into my phone, and it types it up for later. And I love that because it allows me to feel like any moment I have an idea on the go, I can capture that idea. And I get inspired by everything. And really looking at, you know, from watching a TV show, I think, this kind of sparks something for me or anything else. Sometimes you have to step away from the desk. You know what I mean? You just get up. And that really helps you be fresh because it's very, very hard to create original and compelling content. And really looking at that content and making sure that it's good because otherwise it's kind of a waste of time because the other thing you can do is look for great content, share it for, you know, on behalf of the brand, but credit it to the original person. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's also great. But when you hit that original piece that really resonates, you know, I think you've really hit gold there.
It's a great idea.
Yep. Thanks.
Yeah, well, because so often we'll sit and we'll just stare at the computer and go, I've got, and I've seen people tweet this and put it on their Facebook page. It's not coming to me. It's not coming to me. I'm sitting here staring at the computer. It's like, okay, get up. Walk
yep,
away.
Get up. Go take a walk. Go take a walk. Go read Us Magazine. Like, literally, read something random that you wouldn't think, and you will get inspired. It's just, it's stepping out of, also stepping out of the social media space sometimes. Like, if you're sitting there looking at everyone else's content, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard. Like, that's a part of it, but then step away, like, to come up with your own content. And just encouraging that a lot really works well. And a lot of times also, you know, we come up with content calendars that are monthly, right? So we start with a monthly content calendar. But then there are what I call the gems, right? So these are these moments, like when something happens, when something's current, you know, something that sparks that innovation. And I really never want to stifle innovation with, you know, kind of being too rigid with my content also. I really want it to be a fluid, flexible process.
Mm-hmm. I think AK quinges as she sees an email that comes from Deb and it's got this little media thing, because I've been out walking and I'll open up the voice app and just say, okay, I can't walk and text, though I do.
Yep.
And I don't really want to telephone her, so I'm going to just record this message.
Yep. Oh, no, I drive my whole team crazy with that too, because that is always my best thoughts are either in the car or walking. Always.
Yeah. 9 out of 10 times I say, please disregard that voice message earlier.
Yes.
It really was
yes.
A
crazy idea. But that's okay, because if a bunch of the ideas are a little nutty, you know, a couple of them will hit. And it takes being a little nutty to tap into genius. I mean, you know, if you have to think of it that way.
I like
don't
that.
Feel bad about your silly voicemail messages, because one of them is going to be really amazing.
by the way, if you're listening right now live, don't go anywhere, because, AK, I saw your tweet. And I did just DM Ashton. So you never know. Maybe
you
will call in right now.
Yes!
That's amazing.
Okay. AK, you can handle that one. So AK, you must get a lot of genius ideas, because AK, I don't know, Carrie and Dave, if you know this, but AK pedals all day long. She has a fit desk.
Okay, so let's discuss this right now, AK, because I have a fit desk obsession. I haven't yet ordered it, but I'm like, first of all, I follow them, like, obsessively, and I think that this is the most brilliant thing. Do you love it?
I absolutely love it, and can I
you
tell
love
you that
it.
I am the one behind their Facebook and their Twitter accounts.
You're following them. Are? Amazing.
I see you following us and
okay.
Everything.
Okay, so I don't want to get too far off topic, but I have a very important fit desk question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So when I spin all the time, and then what happens is I take like a week off from spinning, and then I go to sit down on the bike and my bum, forget it. Like, it's the uncomfortable seat. Is fit desk as uncomfortable as like when you're spinning, or does it give you like a little bit more of a comfortable seat because you know you'll be sitting there for long periods of time? This is my important question that I've been dying to ask, that I can't fit into 140 characters, so now you're like a celebrity to me. I need to know.
It does have a naturally more comfortable seat than your regular spin bike. Bikes, but I still got a gel like bike seat to go over.
You got
mine,
the gel bike seat. I thought about the padded bike shorts, but that would be very, very awkward in the office. So I'm very happy to hear this, and I will definitely, definitely be getting a fit desk for the Likeable Office for sure. And if I love it and the staff loves it, we'll get more. So
that's a
media success story right there. You have my word.
Yes, love it. Thank
awesome.
You.
And
awesome.
And AK, you are not too far from New York City. I expect you to go up there and take your fit desk and sit with them and give me pictures and tell me what it's all about.
I can do that.
It's pretty awesome.
You can transport it very easily as the second part of my fit desk commercial.
I love it. Well, I saw that, of course, because you know that I've been like researching the fit desk. And
yeah.
It's so small, but I love it.
Yeah, there was a couple weeks ago, Hoda and Kathy Lee of the Fourth Hour Today Show wrote it practically the whole show.
That's amazing. Were they drinking wine while they rode the fit desk? Because that
they
would be really amazing.
Yeah, they were. Apparently, they did some sort of pledge to take the month of January off of drinking wine on the show. So.
Oh, that must have been one of the New Year's resolution that lasts, you know, X number of days or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. They'd probably offer that by now.
That's awesome. Well, the fit desk is awesome. I can't wait to try it. You've pushed me over the edge now. I've gone from curious social media explorer to actual, you know, convert. So
okay.
I'm going to order it right after the show.
Thanks.
You're welcome. You tell me if there's a link you want me to click, like a specific link, I will.
Oh,
cool.
Awesome. All right, so anyway, back to social media.
Back on topic. Yeah, I'm sorry.
You know, we said ask us anything. This
I'm
has been
sorry.
One interesting, fun interview.
Well, I do have a question, and I guess, Carrie, you can take this one for the likable media gang. And that's kind of, how do you motivate your employees to sort of even the ones who maybe aren't responsible for the forward-facing likable media accounts? Do you encourage them to do their own, like, personal tweeting and generating content also?
Yes. So at Likeable Media, we have a set of core values, really what we stand for as an organization. And one of those core values is based around thought leadership. So we have the real belief that everyone at our company, from the receptionist to the highest ranking to the CEO, can be a thought leader, right? So we encourage thought leadership and reward thought leadership from all of our employees. That's one area that we really, really focus on. So everyone on our staff has the ability to be a staff writer for our blog, for instance. And everyone on our staff, we had a tweeting challenge where everyone was tweeting, you know, relevant news and information, and we were looking at, you know, how they gained followers and what their strategy was. And we did that across the whole company, not just for people who work on accounts. So it really allowed us, even, you know, the bookkeeper, everybody gets involved in these things. And I think it's really important because we really have to, you know, be who we say we are, right? So if our name is likable, we really need to be on both ends. You know, we need to be likable in that we are representing social media, right, and more likes. Like, our staff needs to really live and breathe and understand social media, and that goes beyond, you know, likes, shares, comments, all of these things. And it also is about having stellar service. So recently, to keep our employees motivated and really keep them living the likable brand, we launched an internal program called Magic Moments, where we really want to have our really position ourselves as like the Disney of agencies. We really want to be what Disney is to magic. We want likable to be to likability in our service, in our interactions, in everything that we do, in our tweets, everything. And so what we did was we put out a program. It's in all of our signatures. If you spot, you know, an incredible moment from Likeable, if you received incredible service, you can nominate that person. And we reward them really for based on their stellar service and their thought leadership. So when they do great things, they tweet, they share, they do all of that stuff. It really, we reward them for it. So you reward your staff. And it doesn't have to be like huge cash rewards. A lot of times it can be lunch. We have a lunch on Likeable program. We feed them. Food is good. We do all kinds of stuff like that. That's not expensive. But ways to make them feel appreciated for things that matter to us. So things that matter to us are they, do they really get social media? So that's on our thought leadership side. And then the second is really looking at our service, and is our service incredible and truly likable? So those are the things that I really focus on with the staff to keep them motivated and inspired. And, you know, I think it's working. I hope it's working. So, you know, and we'll see as the year goes on.
Very cool. I love that. Yeah, because I was telling people, yes, you know, get everybody involved. And even, you know, not for a digital agency or social media agency or anything like that, but for any organization in general, we'll assume that the employees that work at the company also like the company and care about the well-being of the company and would want to be out there being ambassadors for the company. So.
Yeah, you know, to me, the most obvious marketing force for any company is its employees, and you know, then second most obvious is its customers. But you got to start off with your employees, and the truth is, in today's day and age, everyone is an ambassador of the company. If you have a LinkedIn profile that says where you work, if you have a Facebook account that says where you work, you are representative of the company.
Right.
And so why not? You've got, I think, to me, leadership has to encourage each and every employee to embrace that relationship and to go off and represent the company. And I think that a lot of leaders, especially of larger companies, are scared of that. I mean, that's a scary proposition. But, you know, it makes a lot less sense to me to tell people they can't tweet or they can't blog or they can't post on social media as employees of the company. I mean, how is that really going to work?
Right. Very good. Deb, do you have any final questions before we move into Secret Out? I feel like I had so many I could ask some questions for like 2 hours at least.
We probably could, but I know that we need to let them get back to their family. Well, let's see. You've got the likable media. You've got the likable local. How do you see all of this working together, emerging together, coming in the next year or two?
Well, you know, I think both have a lot of real runway. Likable media is going to continue to grow. We're fortunate enough to be in the Inc. 500, both in 2011, 2012. It's, you know, one of the fastest growing private companies in the U.S. Under Carrie's leadership, I see Likable Media really continuing to grow and soar. And we think that Likable Local, you know, has just an enormous opportunity, too, as we start to go into other verticals and supercharge our staff and our development team and our sales force. We think that there's tons of runway there as well. So just really looking forward to 2013 and seeing what it brings for us. And mostly just want to keep working on the Likable brand, the Likable mission, helping organizations of all sizes across the world become more responsive, more transparent, more engaged with their customers, and ultimately more likable.
It's a great mission, and you guys are so likable, and I love everything that you do, and I just can't wait for the next book and then the children's book. I really, really can't wait for the children's book. I have
two
grandchildren
awesome.
That I think would just – it would be wonderful to have part of our library here. So very good. Well, we will let you roll. We're going to move into Geek It Out, but before we go, let's tell you have – different Twitter handles and Facebook pages and websites. Please share some of them, if not all of them, with the audience so they know how to get in touch with you.
Oh, goodness. This is like Dave's signature is about a mile long with all those special handles. So, Dave, why don't you start? Mine's pretty simple. So
yeah, well,
Dave.
What I was going to say, what I say now is, honestly, you can Google likable and you'll find tons of stuff.
You'll find
anything likable on the net, on the web, you know, is pretty much us. But what I was going to say is you can get my books at likablebook.com. You can learn more about both of my books. And then if anyone has any questions at all, you're listening today, you're listening, you know, later on, responsiveness is one of my core values. And so even though I get thousands of emails, tweets, and Facebook posts every week, I do respond to each and every one of them. So if anyone has any questions whatsoever, you can tweet me at Dave Kerpen, K-E-R-P-E-N. And I promise to respond to you. And if for some reason you're not on Twitter yet, you can even go old school and email me, dave@likable.com, and I'm happy to respond with the answers to any questions that you guys have.
So thank you. And I do, I vouch for that. You are very, very responsive. Everybody on your team, they've been awesome and very magical, and I love that little magic.
Oh, that's
magic
awesome
moment.
To hear. Well, if you get, you know, you want to
Absolutely.
Nominate Sarah or anyone you've worked with, you can see in their signature, it's right there. You can nominate them.
And
so
I meant to
great.
Do that last week, so
awesome.
I'm on that. And Dave, from your book, I had forgotten all about my handwritten cards. I went to a seminar today, and it's like, oh, I've got Dave on the show tonight. I've got to tell
yeah.
him. I've got two cards sitting here that I'm getting ready to do the old school way of send that out.
It really does. It really does make a difference.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And Carrie, how can people get a hold of
you
and find out more about Likable Media Love?
Well, Likable Media is pretty easy. You can either tweet us, which is at Likable Media, or you can find us on Facebook under Likable Media, or you can just go to likable.com. And if you want to get in touch with me, the best way is to tweet me at Carrie Kerpen.
C-A-R-R-I-E.
K-E-R-P-E-N.
Yeah, very good. We'll make sure they find you. Well,
that's
thank you.
Right.
You likable folks, you have next
I
time
hope
I'm
we brought a little bit of likability into your day, guys. I hope you really have a likable night.
Thank you so much. Have a
Thanks
good evening.
Thanks again for having us. Great chatting and catching up with you guys. And
thank
you guys have a terrific night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Social media, social media, social media.
I know. I have to do something with the ending of that thing. It just, like, stops.
I know. Sometimes I'm wondering if it is going to stop, though.
Yeah, this is true, too. Okay, so it's time to geek it out.
All right. Let's see. What shall we start with? Oh, okay. The first one is 99events.com. So it's the number 99events.com. And this is an event search engine that pulls from Ticketleap, Meetup, Facebook, Eventbrite, and Eventful. So you can put in a keyword or topic, and you can put in your location, and it will pull from all of those. And I have to tell you that it works because I typed in social media, and I typed in my zip code, and my Baltimore social media group Meetup surfaced. So I'm very excited about this because I'm trying to go to a lot more local events and networking and things of that nature. So this will definitely help out with that.
Do you really have time to go to any more, AK?
Yes, I do. I will make that. Oh, that reminds me. I'm glad you said that because Friday I'm going to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be live tweeting from it. So you can follow me on Twitter at AKStout18. Or, of course, you can follow the TEDx Baltimore hashtag and hear everything that we are hearing about at TEDx Baltimore on Friday. So I'm very excited.
Is it your first TEDx that you're going to?
It is, and I'm part of the Media Brigade, as it's being referred to. So it's a whole bunch of us who are going to be tweeting and carrying on, and I can just see us all in the back row with our heads down and our thumbs moving fervently, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
It is going to be fun. I love TEDx events. I think there's another one coming up in Houston. So have fun. I'm going to be watching. I can't be there, but I'm going to be watching.
Yeah. Cool. All right. The next one is called WovenTheApp.com. So it's an app. So this will be our app of the week. It's called Woven, but the website is Woven, W-O-V-E-N, TheApp.com. And the premise of this is, let's say you have pictures on Facebook and you tweeted out pictures and you've got pictures on Flickr and all sorts of different things. You can type in your login credentials to each of those various platforms and it will pull all of those pictures for you so that you can have all of your pictures in one place.
Oh, neat. Not that I have any pictures, ha, ha, ha.
Every time I see these picture apps, I'm like, Deb will love this.
Deb will love this, yes. I love pictures or video. Yeah. Okay. Good, I'm going to hold on to that one.
I thought this one was cool, too, because, you know, you go to most of these app pages, and it says, available in the App Store and get it on Google Play. And this one has Kindle Fire and a Nook app and a Samsung Smart TV app and a Windows Phone app. So pretty much anybody out there, I don't know about BlackBerry, sorry, Dana, but except for that, maybe it can use this app on their device. So are BlackBerry still around even? Do they still use those?
Yeah, I have seen people still using those.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. All right, and the next one is called this is kind of long, so I'll put it in the chat for those of you who are in our chat room right now. But it's apowersoft.com. So just apowersoft.com. But then you're going to do /free online screen recorder. And those words are all broken up by hyphens.
So
apowersoft.com/free-online-screen-recorder.
Okay.
And this one is, do you guys remember
Screener.
A long time ago we talked about Screener, where you can record what's going on your screen in audio. But that is only free for the first 5 minutes of recording.
Mm-hmm.
This one is free for an unlimited amount of time.
Oh.
Yeah, so you can kind of scroll down the page here and you can see you hit record, and then it records whatever you want. And then you have it, and it gives you a file, and you can upload it to wherever you like to upload it, YouTube, or you can annotate it and all sorts of neat things.
Well, it looks like that it also offers a feature to where you can actually use your webcam and record your screen at the same time.
Yeah. So
that is very...
you guys were talking about something like that the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so you can do that as well.
That is very cool.
Yeah, and I never know how these sites make money, but it appears as if all of these features on here are free. So I guess that's how it is.
Free is good.
Yeah.
It's going to hold it down.
So that's that one. The next one, okay, so if you guys are following me on Twitter or Facebook, you may or may not know that I'm trying to be, like, healthy and fitnessy and doing my walks and exercising and stuff. And this site is gainfitness.com/strength. So G-A-I-N fitness.com/strength. They have a mobile app, but you can actually use the site right on the web here on your computer. You put in for how many minutes you want to work out, whether it's going to be at the gym or home. So I always do home, of course. What your fitness goal is, and then your workout type. You can put in some more information about what you have, your gender, yada, yada, yada. And you click on build workout. And it just gives you all of these different suggestions right here on the screen for free again. And you can do that. So there's always, and this kind of goes along with the fit desk that we're talking about before, but all of these, you know, articles coming out about the dangers of sitting at your computer for too long during the day, as so many of us do. So what I was going to suggest is, you know, maybe take a 5 or 10 minute break and come in here and say, okay, it's at home, or it's, you know, let's pretend home also equals office, and you have 5 minutes, and you know, what exercises could you sit in your office and do for 5 minutes just to stand up and stretch and get out of your chair a little bit. So.
Now I have to ask you something. With all these fitness things that you use, I know you have the Fitbit, you have something that you put on your arm. How many devices are you using while you're doing these workouts?
Well, actually, I don't use the Fitbit anymore. My body media armband replaced Fitbit for me. I'm only using that one. So I use that, and then it has its own personal app that syncs up with my phone that tells me calories being burned and everything. So I just use that. So when I'm running the fit desk, I have it on 24 hours a day. And then,
I was curious.
Yeah. I'm trying to keep it simple so that I don't get overwhelmed and stop using all of them altogether.
Okay.
And then the very last one I have, I think we have one more minute.
Barely.
It's kind of just fun. It's called CryptoMat, CryptoMath. And this is if you wanted to send the password to somebody, you didn't want to send it via email or text message, you can type in text, and then you can put a password to it, and you can encrypt it. It gives you a random jumble of letters. And then you can send it to somebody. They can open up this website, put in what you gave to them, and then, of course, they would have to know what your, like, CryptoMat password is. I guess you guys could have that spoken somewhere, and then you could just send encrypted messages back and forth to one another.
Okay, we could do that.
Yeah.
Well, very good. Okay. Yes, the operator is telling us that we really do have to wrap it up. You know, we're going to end it here. So, AK, have lots and lots of fun at the TED event this weekend. We'll be watching. I will be walking Charity Miles on Saturday. So anybody wants to join me virtually, please use your Charity Miles app. It will automatically and walk for cancer, and that would be great. And next week, Jason Falls is going to join us and talk about his book, No Shit, No Bullshit, Social Media Marketing. I'll say it. It's a bad word. I was like, can I say that?
You just bleeped on Blog Talk Radio.
Bleep. Bleep, bleep. All right. Well, have a good night, everybody. And thank you, Dana, and our guests that have been listening and helping us tweet.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a great rest of the week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Social Geek. Social Geek. Social Geek.